But the Yoshim don't even know about it.
Says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara and Baba Kama, that you don't have to pay back to the Goy. Because if he doesn't know about it, there's no going to be Chila Hashem, and there's no Issa of not paying back to a Goy, because the Issa of stealing is to take something from the Goy against his will. Here you didn't take something from the Goy, you just didn't give it back. He gave, with his will, the money as a loan, you just didn't give it back. Of course, Havar is Mutter, when there's no Chila Hashem. However, to trick him to give you something, for example, you make up a whole timer in order to get insurance from him, we discussed last week, which is not true. So you tricked him to give over money which you're not really entitled to. Tricking to a goy to give you money, that's gezel, mekula alma is awesome. So we're now going to start with a shaila in the honor of Yemi. He came back in time. Shaila's asked to Rabbi Yashin. Somebody lost their pair of tefillin when they were in the airport. Gone. He has insurance on his tefillin. So, he goes and claims insurance, as he's entitled to. He receives money for the tefillin. 2 years later, he gets a phone call from Yankel, who says, I found your tefillin. And now he gets his tefillin back. So the shaila now, is he mechuyev to return the insurance which he received for the tefillin or not?
Is it Goyish insurance company?
Yes. Or is he supposed to give the Goya tefillin? What's the halakha over that? Can he keep the tefillin and the money? Or is he mechuyev to give back the money? Or maybe the tefillin belongs to insurance? What's the halakha in such a case? So Yerim is going to tell us over here.
You don't want to know Israeli insurance.
No, I don't want to know the Israeli insurance. But you're going to give us a bit of background what the Israeli insurance would say in such a case.
When there's a claim and they pay it out, whatever was paid out technically belongs to them. Between the tefillin and the case of the insurance, they pay it.
Yes.
And if it ever comes back, it's paid.
Okay.
A new tefillin. If a car gets stolen, you have to transfer ownership of some sort. The insurance company is stolen. If they buy the car, it's their car.
Okay. So what does everybody think in such a case? Does it come under the idea of Gezel Akam, which is Osa, to withhold giving back the tefillin or giving over the money back? Or does it come under the concept Havgas Havosa, and it's going to be Mutter? I owe money to Goy, the Goy doesn't know. So long as the Goy doesn't know, I didn't actually take something illegal from them. They gave it with their full consent, whatever I received from them. Now I may owe them back, but they don't know I owe them back, and as long as they don't ever know I pay back, it's going to be a Chilul Hashem, so therefore I don't have to pay back. So what does it come under? Which category? The category of stealing, tricking the goy in order to give you something which is stealing, or just not giving back something you owe to the goy? It was given for full consent, so it's just not giving it back, and therefore it's mutter, concept of hafkas havasa. What does it come under?
It sounds like category two, unless he told his friends about it. I mean, if he told people, I got the insurance money for this, now they all see him with his tefillin back, then maybe I'll kill Hashem again.
But kill Hashem, kill Hashem. To who? To who? To his friends. No! The kill Hashem is, not his friends, the kill Hashem is that if the boy knows you owe him money and you're not paying back,
right, so in terms of that,
that's kill Hashem.
Category two. Well, that's category two.
Neither. Category two, you wouldn't be asking.
Neither.
How's it category one?
Neither. Neither one or two? Okay. This is a typical Eric answer. Yes. No.
He didn't steal from him. But for all intents and purposes, the company.
So what's he doing by not giving back the tefillin? When he finds the tefillin?
He's not doing a shem saveda.
Hashavas Aveda? Is there a mitzvah Hashavas Aveda to a goy?
No.
So you've got three options. If the tefillin belong to the goy, and you find the tefillin, what does that come under the concept? Hashavas Aveda. No mitzvah Hashavas Aveda to the goy. If the tefillin don't belong to him, but it's a question about the money, that whenever you find the tefillin, if you ever find it, you have to give back the money we give, is that a debt? And therefore, you don't have to pay a debt as long as the goy doesn't know? Or is that called stealing that money once you've found your tefillin?
Again, it's not that you can't borrow the money with the consent.
Yes, did he get the money with consent?
It's not the money with the consent. It's an object.
So you find the goy's object. So it's a goy's object. Are you mechuyev to give it back? No, because that's Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda doesn't have no mitzvah to a goy. It belongs to a goy, but it's no mitzvah to give to Hashavas Aveda. Says Rabbi Yashin, like no one over here, surprising you know. Tshuva Merichami Shlitahi. The Tshuva of the Rabbi Yashin, this is Rabbi Yitzhak Zilberstein speaking about his father-in-law. I asked my father-in-law, this is what Rabbi Yashin answered. Tony, it depends. Came to my habituach. What was the agreement with the insurance company? In lefi chozer habituach. If according to the agreement with the insurance company, mutna sheim titsa hachavila peturim heim melamafreya. If the agreement with the insurance company is, if you ever find your article which you lost, then it means that we will never mechuyev to give you the money in the first place, if that was how it's written. Osman Mela, then it comes out, Kivin Shachavila Nimtzes. Whenever you find your tefillin, Habi Demei Habi Tuach Gezel Biyat HaMakabu. Then that money was never supposed to come to you, and therefore the fact you've got it, you've stolen it. V'chayim l'achse, you have to give it back. Because gezel goy, you have to give back. Avu im heim b'shatan hoye chayim b'tashlim achreis. But if according to the agreement that whenever you lose it, you are entitled to the money, always, even if you find it, you are entitled to receive the money originally because at that stage you lost it. But the agreement is, if you find your tefillin, then you're mechuyev to give back the money which we gave you. Not that we gave you the money, it was a mistake. They gave you the money, was okay, but as soon as you find it, you're now mechuyev to give it back from now onwards, if that's the agreement. It's like a debt you owe. When you find the tefillin, now you owe money to the goy. It's a debt which you owe to the goy. A goy's debt you don't have to pay if he doesn't know about it. If there's a problem of chilal shem, you have to give it back. Enough, but there's no problem of them finding out to put turin. So Rabbi Yashu said it depends what the agreement is. If the agreement is, if you ever find your tefillin which we paid insurance for, it means that we paid you as a mistake to pay you. The original payment was a mistake. So therefore, that money was never supposed to be in your hands. The actual giving is not supposed to be. You, therefore, is stolen money to us. We have to give it back. But even if you find it, you were entitled to receive that money until you find it. And just when you find it, you now owe us money. If you owe us money like a debt, since you owe money to goy, is mutter not to pay. If they don't know about it, then you don't have to pay. So it depends how the clause in the insurance is written, says Rabbi Yashin.
Well, one of the clause is it's giving to you on a tenai that if you find you have to give it back. So meaning if you don't give it back, then the mafreya, the tanai, was never miskayim, and then they never really gave it to you.
That's what the first side. The first side. That's the first side saying is that the giving was only you entitled to receive it if you never find it. But if you do find it, you're never in the first place entitled to get the money.
No, I'm saying, what if it's just a tanai that if you find the object, you must give us back the object.
As why? The object, or the money? You mean?
No, the object. You just give us the original object because it's a tanai.
So if it's the first side, which the Rabbi Yashiv is not even contemplating, is that the object belongs to the goy as soon as he pays the insurance, then it's obvious you don't have to give back that object because it's like a din of Hashem and Sabit. Therefore, if there's a concept of use, there is a concept of use.
The contract is written the way they say in court, so there is never a concept. Is it possible never to have a concept of use?
Not if it's like Zutru Shoyam. If it's like Zutru Shoyam, then even if you scream your head, I don't give up hope, but in the Maisa, it's in the sea, and you're ridiculous by saying you're not giving up hope.
So the airport is sort of like
and
the sea.
And therefore, there's no way, there's definitely years in such a case. Yes? Even if you say you're not giving up. So therefore, for sure, Rabbi Yashiv doesn't even contemplate if the agreement is the actual item belongs to the goy, then forget of it, the goy is not entitled to get it back. Firstly, even if there's no yish, it's just Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda doesn't apply to a goy. And for sure, in most cases, there's a concept of Zutra Shoyam, that object, the owner, i.e. the insurance, has no other mina of ever retrieving it in the natural circumstances, and therefore there's automatically a yish, and for sure you don't have to give up. The only way we can contemplate that the company, the insurance company, gets some money back is the condition was, whenever you find your article, then you owe us money that we gave you. So if it's like I just said, you owe us money, means you're entitled to that money until you find it, then again you don't have to give it back, because it's a debt. But if it's written, whenever you find us the article, it means that the original money was given as a mistake, then in such a case, to keep that money is gezel, because it was the whole original giving the money was a mistake.
Yeah.
English insurance is not. Who has the choice?
They give you the money.
Who has the choice?
We're the insurance company. We trust them to have the choice.
They have a choice.
This is the film where you did.
Yeah, okay.
They give the client very often a choice, whatever they want. So isn't there years?
So they automatically, then, according to insurance, Israeli insurance law, which is hearing over here from Yemi, for sure there wouldn't be a shayla, you wouldn't be mechuyev to give it back. Because Benson, they're saying the item belongs to them. We're not, the money's got nothing to do with us. But yeah, we want to see the money.
What if it's a Jewish company?
And if it's a Jewish company, yeah, but I'm saying if the insurance is set up like the Israeli insurance, in the rest of the world, the same way, like English and American insurance would be like the same way, that the tefillin belongs to us, then there would be no shyness of giving the tefillin back to the English insurance, the English Scottish company insurance, in such a case. Okay, let us revisit a shyness with the concepts we learned. On the side that having copyrights, which we discussed in length, does not belong to the original owner, all he did, he's created you the possibility to benefit from what he created. So we said there was a concept, if you copy from the copy, somebody's made a copy, a legal copy, and you make a copy from that, which now doesn't really belong to the original inventor, but he's getting benefit from the original inventor, he's getting hana, because he invented it, I'm able now to get hana for making a copy from that copy. So I'm getting hana, and he's losing money. Why is he losing money? Because if I wasn't able to make this copy from the Microsoft, which was a copy in itself, I would have gone ahead and bought it. So I'm being nana from his creation, and he's lost my own money. Zenana zechosin. You have to pay money. That's what we can do. Now, let's say, now the question is, okay, you have to pay money. because you're benefiting from Microsoft who created it, and they've lost because they lost you as a customer. Is that debt which you owe money a debt? A chov? You now owe money like a debt to a goy called Microsoft? And if so, you don't have to pay him because he's a goy? Or is that gezel?
Gezel. You're doing it with knowledge. You're doing it out his knowledge.
Fine. You're doing what? You're not stealing it. According to these appeal, you're not stealing something of his. It's a copy. Something's already made a copy.
It's out of knowledge. It's out of knowledge.
The idea, we say, according to those opinions, the idea, going along the opinions, are hold the idea you don't have ownership of. So you only have on the original tape the ownership. The copy you don't have ownership on, and only the idea you don't have ownership. But you're benefiting from his creation. That's Hana. You're getting Hana for what he's created. And he's lost. Because he lost you as a customer. Zenena. Zechosa, which normally we say you have to pay. Is that here for Zenena, Zechosa, which you have to pay like a debt? And therefore, if the person you're talking about is a goy like Microsoft, you don't have to pay because they'll never find out. Or is it like Gezel, and therefore you have to pay even if he doesn't know about it?
It's like Gezel, because a debt, he has to know about the original debt. The debt case was where he knows he's lending you money. Here, he has no knowledge.
He has no knowledge. Yeah. Yes, correct. But did you actually take anything against his will?
Company also, the
insurance
case also.
Sort of. He's not. If you asked him, he'd say, "Don't do it."
But was there anything there which you took of his?
No.
No. But you took something which wasn't his, and the chiv is not because you copied something which was his, which you're not allowed to copy, because you copied from something which wasn't his. Somebody else copied from him. So you didn't copy from something which was his, but because you are now benefiting from an idea which he. So he created the idea which gave you Hana at the end, and he's losing by the fact you're not paying. We're saying you have to pay money. A concept of dinner. Is that like stealing or not?
Stealing.
It's not like classic stealing, going to him and taking something out of his hands.
Right. No gun like involved or anything like that.
on that side, but on the other side.
Is
it Rama?
It's causing a lot.
So, Uzzaman Nehemiah Goldberg, Shlita, the son-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman, Orbach, comes up with a chiddush like this. Let's look at number two, the Sosa question. Mishalim Kol Mashenen. If you have Hana, and by you having Hana from somebody, he's losing, you owe money. You have to pay the value of the Hana which you took. Like our case. Nia says the Ksosa question. Even although we say a gadaf or somebody who damages has to pay from the best quality of his possessions. That means money. Or the best quality lands if he hasn't got money. Avu bezer, but in this obligation of zeh nen and zeh choser, eina mishalim ele miziboros. You can pay him the worst quality of objects that you got. The worst quality of land. Why? To have bao chov. Because you're just a bao chov. It's like you borrowed money from him. And therefore, Bachov, the halach is, when you borrow money, and now you're coming to pay back, you can pay back poor quality land. If you damage somebody, you have to pay quality land. But if you borrow money, and you've got no money to pay back, then you can pay poor quality land. Says the Ksosha Roshan, when you get a hanah from somebody and cause them a loss, that's like a Bachov, and you can pay poor quality land. So says the Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, we see from this Kesos that he learned that when you take Hanor, even without his consent, you take Hanor from somebody and you owe him money because you're causing him a loss by taking that hana. It's not like a gun or like somebody who's damaged somebody where you have to pay quality lands. You're considered like you borrowed money from him and you owe him money, and therefore you have to pay poor quality lands. We see you're defined like a balchov, like you borrowed money. If you're like somebody who borrowed money, therefore if it's a goy who you took the hana from and caused him a loss, you borrowed from a goy, he's never going to find out that you owe him money. So therefore you don't have to pay.
So therefore is it mutter, did he say coming out it's mutter to do this?
What?
Isn't he coming out therefore that it's mutter to do this?
According to, if you, I think we had eight shirin on intellectual property rights. And it didn't come out clearly from those shirim that it was mutter. Actually, I think it's the opposite. It came out more likely it was noter. The concept was that it's osur and wrong. But if you go with all those hetayim, that there's no such thing as ownership in the idea, and there's
really
no copyright,
so you got away with it.
Yeah.
Basically,
listen to the other eight shirim. There's now, on top of it, an extra kula which says that if it's a goy you're dealing with according to the most medical shittas and no shirim, then you don't need to pay them, even according to the concept of zanen as a But please listen to those shirim again if you're going to think, oh, Rabbi's on the set. Wait! Microsoft copies. Don't worry.
No, shirim were confusing even when I was here for them.
When you go upstairs, you still have to explain yourself.
Nah. But Baruch there. And there's Betzim Eitshuva Sarashba. Is Kumat Beferish argues with the Ksos. And says that this obligation is not like a debt. It's like you've damaged him, or you're like you stole from him, you have to pay quality lands. So if you get a whole Mukars from the Ksos, I can say, yeah, you've got maybe a Ksos supporting you, but there's a Rabach there, and there's a Chumas Erasmus, there's Rishon, which argues. And therefore, it's not Kedai to rely on such a Hetzer, even if you're Mekel, because they hold that this Chiv of paying is like a Gazlan. Now what's it based on? What's the Svaras? We're saying what? The Ksos seems to say that it's like a debt. And the Shuvas and Rashba and Rabokba seem to say it's like stealing if you don't pay. So how are they looking at defining the case? How do they define the case that they come out at such opposite conclusions? That's my question to you. Yeah, so I want you to answer, yeah? So think about it. Switch on. I took your hana. I made you lose by taking hana from you. I have to pay. Is that a debt? Was that gezel machlokas? Why is it machlokas? What's the two ways to look?
One way to look at it is in terms of the whole product. Product, so wherever you take it from, it comes to the same thing. Just because you copied it from someone else, everything is copied from someone else. Wherever you get it from, whether you got it from someone else or whether you got it from.
Yes, yes, and therefore.
Microsoft themselves.
That is a very virtual idea. I just don't understand what you're saying, that's all.
Saying that you copied it, like a copy, you didn't take what you wrote, like you wrote an article and then you just.
Right, anyone got anything else to say?
I think, like you said before, it's difficult to say borrowed something from someone if they don't know about you borrowed it from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to say if this person, they don't know, Microsoft doesn't know that you've got an offer from them. It's very difficult to say that they've loaned you something.
Let's
and you loaned
it. Does Microsoft want you to take their item?
No.
Yes, they want you to take it.
Just they want you to take it, use it and pay. Yes? We don't want you to say, don't take it and don't touch it. We want you to take it, enjoy it, and pay. Yeah, that's Microsoft's idea, yes? So they want you to take it, yeah? So, I've taken it. So if so, I've taken something, and now I just owe money. I just owe money as a debt. That's the pashtus, easy way to explain. Uksos. Now, how do you understand the other way to understand it's gezel?
We didn't want you to take it without paying.
That we want you to take it, but it's a condition in taking. We don't want you to take it and owe us money. We only allow you to take it if you're going to pay. But if you don't want to pay, we don't allow you to take it. And therefore, if you don't pay at the end, then you weren't allowed to take it. Now you took it, it's gezel.
How is a free trial affected by this, Marcos? Microsoft will often give you, say, you have a free trial. You can download software.
30-day trial.
Anonymously. You can anonymously download it for 30-day trial. So now...
Again, you have the same
focus?
Yes. 30 days to trial. And then we want you to pay. But if you intend not to pay, then we don't want the evidence to take it. After the 30 days.
So if you're, driving a car, like a test out the car, same focus?
Test our car. No, you don't test. You don't buy a car to test it.
You go to a showroom, they give you the go to a showroom.
No. I see what type of mood you're in tonight. I have to be very careful. For you, what you have to come out of this shit tonight, just remember one thing. Everything's awesome, okay? That's what you have to remember from this shit.
I just want to see how far this goes.
Okay. Alright, so I'm glad everyone understands.
It'll be a case where there'll be a company will offer a promotion, not wanting to pay, but they just want to promote their brand. And they think that in time, if you get a customer,
okay,
their brand, in the future, you're
so that's different. Then that's different. Okay.
I'm sure there's something free to download and you can carry on using it without paying for it. They know that people are going to do that. I'm hoping that people might be honest. If they give you a project,
yes,
saying, oh, well, please pay for it when you're done, they're kind of assuming that people won't.
Assuming? You're saying you came with the scenario which we talked at the time is their problem of Zutzut. Yeah, we talked about it and we said there wasn't such a problem. Okay. Now, let's move on to Dintari. Shiny lights. Ruben goes to the bank in South Africa. And he wants to deposit into his bank account $1 million. Okay. And that's what he thinks he's doing. Shimon is behind him in the line and goes to deposit into his bank account $50. Shimon comes home, Reuben goes home. A week later, Shimon sees his statements, and it says $1 million has been added to his bank account. Reuben sees his statements, $50 have been added to my bank account. There's a mistake has gone. Reuben was supposed to get $1 million, got $50. Shimon was supposed to get $1 million, $50, he got $1 million. Wouldn't believe this. Reuben and Shimon know each other. And they go to Mason.
They don't go to the bank?
What? They go to the bank, switch our account.
Shimon puts out an ikul on Reuben going to the bank. So he recovers his money. It's a true case.
Were they friends prior to this?
No.
No.
That was a minor of the case. Now, the Shaila arises. What?
Where's $1 million?
Shimon's got $1 million. Oh, so what's his time? Shimon's time says, who gave me the money? Reuben, if you would have given me the money, for sure I'll give it back. It's not my money, I'll give it back to you, Reuben. Who gave me the money?
The bank.
Where did this money belongs to you? It's the bank's money. The bank is a toy! Don't owe money to the bank.
But they can easily
and that boy. Money is mine! Reuven. So the idea is, Reuven Titans, firstly, it's Gezel. Yeah, it's Gezel. You stole them from the bank. You're not allowed to do that. Secondly, what do you mean it's not your... It's not my money. Of course it's my money. Where did you get the $1 million from? It came from my bank account. It was transferred into your bank account. It comes straight from my bank. It's my money. It's not the bank's money.
Why did he go to the bank?
Because Shimon doesn't want him to go to the bank.
More than $1 million. They didn't need his money.
How can he stop him going to the bank?
You're going to hear at the end what happens.
I would argue it's the Hovah case, not Gezel.
So we'll talk about this Shiloh. That's what's Nogea to us. Is it has Reuven, Shimon, stolen from the bank?
No.
Or is he stolen from Reuven?
Neither.
Or he's done nothing?
The bank with Hovah.
How do you look at it? We're not going to talk about whether Reuven goes to the bank. Reuven can go to the bank. We already learned that in Shirim, and that he can go and try and recover his loss, even if it may end up if Shimon losing Shloka Halacha, we don't care. We learned all that. But we'll ask, even in the worst case scenario, that the money belongs to Shimon, but Reuven can protect himself by going to the bank, and even if the bank's now going to get the money from Shimon, and halakhically it belongs to Shimon, it's illegal, we already discussed Reuven can do that. But we're going to look at just that, the details which are nogea to the subject we're talking about now. What has Shimon done? Has he stolen from Reuven? Has he stolen from the bank? Or is it half-barso? Somebody gave him money and he just owes the goy and he doesn't have to pay as long as the goy doesn't know about it.
Well, goy.
There's no difference from a bank agent dropping £1 million cash in the desk.
Okay.
Except
done anything.
That's what you
except
so you're saying he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, he's not living. It's his money.
What? Yes.
I'm giving him money.
No, no money. Not nothing. He hasn't touched it. Very good. So what's happening now at this stage?
You should take it.
What's happening now at this stage?
False.
The money is still in the bank.
False advertising?
And it's registered that the $1 million is in Shimon's cheshbon. And what does Shimon want to do?
Withdraw it.
Is the money already his? That he's withdrawing his money? Or is the money still the bank's? And by withdrawing it, he's taking the money of the bank's. And it's illegal because he doesn't really own that money. Is it Gezel to take out the money from the bank? Or is it already his? And therefore he's taking out his money.
It's his account, it's his.
Your bank account.
But
then my dad's
money is in his bank
account.
Why don't these things ever happen to me?
But again, what are the real
signs? Bill.
I think it's the Hovah case.
It's for sure, if a goy, like Sally said, if a goy comes up to you and puts into your pocket by mistake $1 million into your pocket,
no problem,
you don't have to give it back. Yeah? It's for everyone here that, for sure, Sammy is correct. If a goy comes up to your pocket and puts $1 million in your pocket, you don't have to give it back if he doesn't know about it. But here we're discussing, is it in your pocket? Or is it still in the bank?
Yes.
And you want to take it out?
Having that money in your account, you could do a lot of things with that. You could co-sign on loans. You could get a job. You could qualify for credit. Having it in your account is just as good as cash as far as everyone else is concerned.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Now, this is like somebody has written I owe you, and you've got by mistake to you. You've got a piece of paper saying the goy says I owe you, and you've got the goy's paper. Now you want to take the paper which the goy's written by mistake to you, and you want to use it to take actually the money out from the goy. Is the fact that you've got the IOU in your hand means you've got the money in the hand?
Yes.
Or if you activate the IOU, it's taking out an asset. That's what counts.
The IOU is an asset. You can sell
money in my bank account as a money or not? That's the question.
It's like an IOU. The bank is no more than the IOU money.
They're both assets. You can sell them. You can do business with them.
Says the Shulchan Aruch like this. Number four. There's a machlokas. The malva, Reuven, the lender, has got a document that Shimon owes him. Reuven's got a document that Shimon owes him money. And he says, Shimon, the one who's supposed to have borrowed the money, that there's a tanai, there's a condition attached. Shimon Kayapot said that if I would fulfill that condition, I didn't have to pay. But Kayapot, and I did fill that condition, and therefore I don't owe money anymore. If the lender says yes, there was a condition, but he hasn't yet fulfilled it, the one who has to prove anything is, even although he's got a document in his hand saying Shimon owes Reuven, Reuven's got a document that says Shimon owes Reuven, Reuven has to prove that Shimon still owes him money, even though the money hasn't yet, since the money is still in Shimon's hands, even though he's got a document that says Shimon owes him money, Reuven still has to prove that Shimon, in the case of Machlokas, maybe he owes him the money or not. So we see from here that even though you've got documents on somebody, but there's a machlokas, and there's a shaila whether you can take out the money or not take out the money. Normally we say, Hamotzi machaveru olorai. The one holding the money keeps it, and the other guy has to bring the proof. So who's the one considered holding the money? The borrower who's physically got the money, or the lender who's got the IOU? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Not the lender who's got the IOU. It's the borrower who's physically got the money. He's the one considered as holding the money. Having IOU doesn't mean the money's already yours. We look at physically where the money is to find who's considered as musuk, who's considered as actually having the money. It's considered he's got the money. So if everyone understands that, got a lender and borrower, and even although the lender has a document IOU, the borrower is still considered muchzik on the money, so therefore in our case, yes, yes, that's his proof. No, he has to know, because then he agrees there's this particular case, he agrees that there's room to doubt whether there's money due, because he agrees there's some condition, there's a machlokas, whether that condition was fulfilled or not. So he agrees that there's a room to fill, that the documents doesn't really necessarily cover all scenarios. Yes?
So it's a flawed document.
It's not a flawed document. The document, as it is a good document. If he wouldn't say anything, he'd be able to force the money out with that document.
But he said something.
But he agreed. He said, there is a condition, but he still owes me money. And the other guy says, there's a condition, I don't owe you money. So now we have a machlokas. Do you owe money or not owe money? So now we have to decide, who's holding the money? The guy with the document, which is not flawed at all. And he really could have kept quiet and take the money with that document. Is he considered as having the money already in his hand, since he got a document which is not possible to argue with? Or is it the guy who's physically got the money, he's considered as the guy who's got the money? So he said, it goes after where the money physically is.
That's not like our case, because Shimon's not announcing to anyone.
Doesn't matter. We're seeing from here. Do we go after where the money is actually situated as the guy who's considered as his until proven otherwise? Or do we go after the document which says I can always take out the money and it's as if I've already got the money? Do we look at the document saying I can always get the money and therefore I've already got the money? Or do we say we look at physically where it is? And And the Shulchan Aruch says, we go after where physically it is. If so, then in the case of the bank, physically the money's still by the bank. You got a document called the Cheshbon, which says that I can always take it out because that's how it's registered. I can always withdraw it. Doesn't mean you've got it already. It's still considered as still in the banks. And therefore, to take out money is now you're doing gezel. The money belongs to the bank. It's not lawfully yours.
In that sense,
and therefore, to withdraw the money, which is not yours, is called gezel.
So clearly this is better than an IOU. When you take a Shacharach's case, and one guy had the IOU, and the borrower had his money sitting in the bank, we'd say the guy with the money sitting in the bank beats the guy with the IOU.
No. Why? Because all a bank is an IOU. And the proof of the pudding is that you always have to write Hetzer Iskah with banks. Why? If the money's mine, when even sitting by the bank, it's mine. I haven't lent it to the bank.
Because of ribbis, we're writing because of
ribbis. Why? Right. It's only ribbis if the bank have your money and they owe you money. So we see, wherever the money is sitting, it's actually considered theirs. It's the bank's money! Until you withdraw it, it's the bank's money. So to take out money from the bank illegally is called yes. Yes. So we have to stop in the middle here. Time's run out. But I'll leave you with this question. Okay, so I can't withdraw it by doing a transfer. Can I withdraw it by using a check? Is a check a different form of withdrawal or not from a transfer? Transfer, we said, is gezel. The money belongs to the bank and it doesn't belong to you and you're taking it out illegally even though they don't know it. It's like stealing at night time when they don't know. You can't steal from a guy. That's when you're doing transfers. What about checks? Is checks the same or not?
What if you take out insurance on your bank account now?
Think about it till next week. Doesn't matter this time. If it's also, it's also, it's mutter mutter. Doesn't matter if it's $5, it's $5 million.
Why don't we say in the case of Yetzer Hara?
The Yetzer Hara is bigger, but the Shaila is not.
In case of the Shulchan Aruch,
yes.
Why don't we say so? He would have been entitled to